and welcome to the Sportscast, December 12th, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. And all you guys on Periscope, please put the notification, follow us, so you'll receive the next update of the show. Quiet season. The Heisman was announced on Saturday. Army won as well. We're going, the early bowl games are this weekend. We're hearing some hiring. We've seen some firings. We're hearing rumors of players going pro or not. And to talk to us a little bit about that is Mr. Ty Turner. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Welcome, dude.
So last week, your alma mater, our alma mater, Liberty University, hired Hugh Freeze. You got the prediction right. You heard these rumors for, I think, a few days beforehand. What were your thoughts?
Well, yeah, actually, immediately after Turner Beal resigned, Hugh Freeze was the first name that I saw pop up. I think for various reasons. For one, he's obviously an outspoken Christian. He also did his public apology for some of the indiscretions he did at Ole Miss. He did his public apology at Liberty University. So I think dots just started to connect. And, I heard through the sourcing that I go through, Football Scoop, that they said that they did contact Hugh Freeze. So I heard that immediately after Gil and the rumors started coming to – Gil resigned and the rumors started coming to light. And it was pretty shortly thereafter he got hired. And, so pretty significant hire for Liberty this their second year. They've done 1 year in the FBS after moving from the FCS level. And it was a good hire. Yeah.
You think Hugh Freeze will take Liberty to the next level?
Next level as in what?
Meaning, maybe take him to a conference, maybe, stabilize in the FBS.
I'm not completely sure or convinced that Liberty actually wants to be in a conference. Just so you know, I kind of think they see themselves as the Notre Dame for evangelicals or the BYU for evangelicals, and Notre Dame's an independent and BYU's an independent. So I'm not totally convinced that Liberty wants actually to be in a conference. So that's number one. Do I think they will be better on the field? Do I think they can make bowl games? Yes, I do. He's a good coach. I mean, the guy had a winning season every year except for his last one at Ole Miss. He had great recruiting classes. Obviously, later came to light that there might have been some pay and some different things that definitely involved maybe having him having a little better recruiting classes than he probably should have. But no matter what, he still got recruits in there. He still beat Nick Saban in Alabama 2 years in a row. He still made 2 years in a row the New Year's Six game, winning one of those over Oklahoma State. I think it was the Peach Bowl. So he very successful. I mean, the guy knows how to coach. He knows how to recruit. And his track record is strong. So I think that Liberty will do well. I think it's an upgrade from Turner Gill. I think Turner Gill was a very good man. I think he was a man of integrity. Obviously, he left his position as head coach to help out his ailing wife. But I think his results were actually fairly marginal from even his time in the FCS to the FBS. I thought Turner Gill did less than my coach, Danny Rocco. I played under two different coaches. I played under Ken Karcher, and he was terminated my junior year. And then I played under Danny Rocco my senior year. So I played under those two. And, I definitely think that Rocco was the best head coach that Liberty has had up until Hugh Freeze. So I think we're definitely getting an upgrade.
What do you think about his situation? What happened Mississippi State? Do you think? Sorry, at Ole Miss. You think that's what he did obviously was wrong, but you think he's been repentant over that situation?
All you can go on is what his words are, and he did repent publicly, and he even offered that same sentiment when he spoke for his introductory press conference for Liberty, that he made a lot of mistakes, and he was thankful for the grace Liberty gave him, his wife gave him. So he seems like a repentant man. All I can go off of is his words. We're human. We're fallible. We cannot judge a human by anything more than what they say. And on a couple different occasions, he has been publicly very apologetic of his actions. If he didn't apologize for his actions, if there was not a public apology, I actually would not have hired him. Because unfortunately, there's no way if we know that he, know if he was repentant of what he did, but he's not spoken in his repentance. And therefore, I can only take him for it. But what his actions will be as coach at Liberty University is to be seen. If there is any evidence of misappropriation of funding or misbehavior, then I think he should be, that would probably be enough to have him terminated pretty quickly. So he definitely has to run a pretty tight ship because of his past.
Do you think he'll bring some good recruits in because of his name recognition?
Yeah, and I think, you know, Liberty has a niche. It's the evangelical juggernaut right now. I don't know how to say it any differently, but it is kind of the hub of evangelical values. It's the kind of the, what's the Pioneer University? What do they call it? When they call something, I'm trying to think of the word, too early in the morning.
It's 9:30 in Minnesota.
There's a certain word that you call, and I cannot think of it right now. I'm going to think of it when I move on from the subject. It is the flagship. It's kind of the flagship evangelical school, meaning it is the biggest evangelical university in the world. So it's the only evangelical school that's FCS. There's other schools that has Christian attached to it, but if you look at their theology, they're not evangelical. They're maybe, I don't even know if they're Protestant. I don't know which, yeah, maybe Protestant, you know, like a Texas Christian or some of those that were in their time were, I guess, connected to the Christian faith, but not really anymore.
Yeah,
other than maybe namesake, but Liberty University is definitely evangelical. You have to sign the Liberty Way. You have to have a statement of faith. So it's definitely a Christian university. So it's kind of the flagship right now. So that has its niche. You're going to have recruits that come there because of that. It's now in the FBS. You're now playing against bigger teams. You now have a bigger coach. Yeah, I think Liberty will do well. I think pretty soon, I think, like I said, I think if he can do really well and he can win and he can bring in the recruits within 10 years, I think Liberty could be on the level of, like, Notre Dame's kind of maybe a little bit
way up there.
You know, maybe a little bit. I mean, they're in the College Football Playoff, but definitely a BYU, and you know, maybe in the top 25, maybe having teams in the top 25, maybe having a game here and there against maybe like a Notre Dame that makes, you know, the game of the week for ABC. I could see a Notre Dame versus Liberty battle in like 10 years.
That would get some ratings.
You know, so yeah.
Yeah, next year they're playing Syracuse and UVA.
Yep, they played UVA this year. They played UVA and Auburn this year, so yeah.
That's not bad of a schedule. Anyways, looking onward, this past Saturday, Kyler Murray won the Heisman Trophy in 2018. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I would have given it to Kyler. I thought he was definitely the reason for the success of Oklahoma making college football playoff, winning their fourth straight Big 12 title. He put up some amazing numbers. He was very productive. He really didn't have any bad games throughout the season. I would give it to Kyler Murray.
What do you think about his quote about, well, I stole the Heisman Trophy from Tuau, and I'm going to steal it for the bowl game in Miami. What do you think about those comments?
Could have been taken out of context. I don't take them. I don't know. Not really a whole lot. Kind of like, since the subject's up, kind of like the LGBT activist journalist for the USA Today went and looked at his tweets as a 14-year-old and brought them to light. That was absolutely pathetic. He should lose his job. Well, you brought the subject up.
Hey, no, it's okay. Disgusting. Yeah, it is. It's part context.
What a disgrace. I messaged him. I said, you're a disgrace. You are an utter and absolute disgrace to do that. To a guy on the greatest day of his sports career, you bring up something he said as a 14-year-old. And it was not to the gay community. It was an offhand remark to a friend. A 14-year-old. Yeah, he's not talking about a 22-year-old man. That guy's disgrace.
That's the thing. People will just search through the Twitter feeds and everything, and it's like, what, you just can't.
Well, it backfired on him because even left-wing people and people that I know that are lean liberal and left-wing and sites that lean that direction, like The Athletic or ESPN, really were not very nice to him either. So he didn't get really anyone to come to his defense for doing that. It's pathetic.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. Obviously, from the Alabama camp, they don't care about individual rewards. They prefer team rewards. What do you think about that?
Sure.
Would you rather win a Heisman or would you rather win a national championship, Tyler?
Me personally, national championship.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Anyways, speaking about 2 Out, we just released a video between Tyler and Justin talking about 2 Out's performance. The video was entitled "Is 2 Out a overrated quarterback?" And of course, you want to make a comment about that. Obviously, you want to add more to what you said in the video, but I'll let you have the floor.
So ask me the question again.
Yeah. So do you think 2 Out is overrated? Yes or no?
Okay. If overrated goes by, do I think he's the unquestionable, which was the media narrative for most of the season? He was the unquestionable best quarterback in college football. I heard stuff that he was one of the greatest, best quarterbacks we've seen in college football over the last, two decades. I saw articles saying he basically is a shoe-in number one draft pick for the 2020 NFL draft. So if the premise is he's a shoe-in 2020 draft pick, he is the best quarterback of the last 20 years. There's never been as productive of quarterback in college football as him. All of those I do not believe are true. I think he was not the most productive quarterback. He wasn't even the most productive quarterback this season. Both Dwayne Haskins and Kyler Murray put up better numbers as far as touchdowns, yards, and completions. If you want to go back to the most productive over 20 years, no, he's not the most productive over 20 years. Like I said, he was not even the most productive this season. If you want to say he's a shoe-in 2020 draft pick, I have talked to some people that are NFL scouts or NFL analysts that work hand in hand with NFL scouts, like an Albert Baer of SI. And no, there's actually questions about how his game will translate to the NFL. For one, he's not big. He's not a big guy. And that's always a knock, whether you like it or not. It's going to be a knock. He also, as you saw in the LSU, something in the Mississippi State, but especially in the Georgia game, he sometimes is just plain and simple a gunslinger. And that mentality can make a lot of plays, but that mentality can also have you make mistakes, throw interceptions, ill-advised plays, take ill-advised sacks. He even got sacked last year in the national title game, which was ill-advised and took them out of field goal range. He made up for it by throwing a touchdown the next play. But what I say is between his decision-making, his overall some physical limitations like his size, and he has a good arm, but at times where I saw that he had to get it into a little tighter windows, and the trajectory of his ball had a little bit more straight line as with not quite as much air under it, I also thought sometimes his arm strength under those circumstances was probably not as good as you'd want it to be. He also would... there were several times in the Georgia game and the LSU game where he actually had a receiver open and he threw the ball behind him, which is an accuracy issue. So between some mechanical stuff, some physical limitation stuff, he is overrated by the standard that I laid out in the premise. Do I think he's a good football player? Of course he's a good football player. Do I think he put up great numbers? Yes, I think he put up great numbers. Do I think he is a guy that will continue to be a productive college football player? Yes, I do. But if his prospects as being a shoe-in number one, as of today, I don't even think he'd be the number one draft pick for 2020. There's three or four guys that could go above him. Justin Herbert, if he comes back and he gets better, I think his upside is an overall talent, meaning he's bigger. He has a bigger arm. He's mobile in his own right. Jacob Eason, who's sitting out a year at Washington, former five-star at Georgia that transferred after they gave the job to Jake Fromm. He's another guy who's probably a little more physical upside. He's bigger, stronger arm. And then Jake Fromm. Jake Fromm is he's a very consistent quarterback. He doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes. He's very accurate. Those guys, I think, are guys that could go above Tua right now. I think I'm going to say Justin Herbert comes back next year. I'm going to say that Jake Fromm, Jacob Eason go pro. And there could be some guys I'm missing, but if I were going to lay them out, I'd probably go Herbert 1, Fromm 2, Eason 3, and I'd put Tua about 4th right now. So if that helps explain what I believe about Tua right now. And I'm not the only one saying that. There's also other NFL scouts that there's a little bit of hesitation with saying that Tua is just that number one guy. I mean, he's probably not right now. But it could change. He can get better. He can work on, the things that he needs to work on, and he can have a more productive year. You work on some of his inconsistencies that he had against the better teams, and you know what? You could definitely see a difference in the conversation piece in a year from now.
Who do you think who do you think is the number one quarterback in college football right now?
Kyler Murray won the Heisman.
Okay.
What do you mean?
Like who is the best right now? Who do you think?
Kyler
Murray,
he won the Heisman.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I was wondering, if you agree with his win.
No, I said I did.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You asked me that.
Okay. Yeah, there's no argument. He is the best in the game right now when it comes to quarterbacking.
Well, yeah, but then are you going to ask for, who do I think is the number one draft pick for 2019? It wouldn't be Kyler.
Who would it be?
If Kyler did come out, who is it going to be?
Yeah. Who would be the number one quarterback in the 2019 NFL draft?
I believe it'll be Dwayne Haskins.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
if he comes out, I believe it'll be Haskins. And I believe Daniel Jones will be second. And I think Drew Locke will be third. And I don't think anyone else will go in the first round.
Have you heard anything from the Justin Herbert camp about him entering pro?
There was that one random tweet by Gil Brandt, who has been a longtime NFL guy, former exec, that said he believes Herbert still in the end will go pro. But other than that, when it comes to anyone close to Oregon, the belief is that he's coming back. And I think Herbert will, and where I'm going to stand behind that is a few things, and I've kind of said it in the past. I think he's a little different guy. He just was named the Academic All-American Team Member of the Year for having a 4.06 GPA in biology. He had the highest GPA for a scholar-athlete football player in the Pac-12. So he really does take school seriously. People kind of look past that, but there's good students, and then there's guys that are just on another level. He's on the level that he could be get the Rhodes Scholar Medical Scholarship, which, if you wonder what that is, you get to study med school in Oxford, England. So he is another level of good student. So that alone, and finishing off his education and possibly someday being a med student and being a doctor, I think is very important to him. And along with the fact that I don't believe he thinks he's ready for the NFL on either a mental or physical level. I think he thinks he needs to mature more. And this is what I'm hearing. This is just what I hear through grapevine.
It's not your opinion.
I don't think he's going to go.
You don't think so?
I don't think he's going to. I don't think he's going to go. No, I don't think he's going to go because I ultimately don't even know if his ultimate dream is to be an NFL quarterback. I think it might be to be a doctor.
Oh, no.
And do I think he'll – no, I think it is. Oh. I mean, he guy's a 4.0 – the guy's a 4.06 biology student.
I guess
you realize biology is one of the hardest degrees.
Yeah, it's pre-med, and I mean,
I wouldn't say he's not into football. I just say he's really into academics. I think he really loves.
He's a nerd.
Academics. He's a nerd that happens to be talented and can play quarterback. So I don't know, but I wonder if it's his real dream has been to be a professional quarterback. Do I think he will go into the NFL? Yes, I do. I think if he comes back, works on stuff, I still think he'll be a first-round draft pick. If he can have a successful year, which we can get into in a little bit, and Oregon definitely could have the talent coming back, then, yeah, he could just be walking right back into a top-five pick. And, you know, it's a good move. Now, he could have another inconsistent year, and guys like Tua and Jake Fromm and Jacob Eason could jump in front of him. He could find himself possibly going to the late first round or second round. That's possible too. But if his ultimate dream is not to be as much an NFL quarterback as maybe a doctor, does he really care? People are like, well, it's $30 million versus $5 million. Maybe he doesn't care. Not everyone cares so much about, like, you know,
about money.
Not all of us are completely obsessed with making tons of money. I mean, it really doesn't bring happiness. I think the Bible lays that out as a Christian, but you know, I'm just not convinced he cares that much, and I just got a feeling he's coming back.
And plus, you know, if he does come back, he has a good team waiting for him.
I think he could, yeah. I mean, as long as everyone else comes back, the offensive linemen that are in question, the linebacker and the wide receiver, I think, and with the recruiting classes he has coming in, which I think is a good segue there, Santiago.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go lead it.
Recruiting,
yes.
Yeah, hey, we're
which
I'm a big recruiting nerd.
Yes. And you were talking about like a few flips that Alabama pulled this past weekend.
Yeah, screw them. Anyways, yeah, they flipped what's his name from the guy from Michigan. They flipped Jeffrey Carter from Texas A&M. What's the kid from Michigan called? Forgetting his name offhand. He's a 5-star safety. Hold Johnson. On. Let me look this up.
Let me see.
No. His name is Daxon Hill from Booker T. Washington in Oklahoma. They flipped him from Michigan. They flipped Jeffrey Carter big time. Jeffrey Carter at one point, little known story, was at Oregon Duck Lane. He was projected to go there, and then he ended up committing to A&M, but now he flipped to Alabama. Alabama's the favorite for 5-star, number 9th rated prospect, Ishmael Foster from Louisiana. They're also for 5-star, number 5 rated prospect, Trey Sanders out of IMG Academy. And they're also the favorite for Evan Neal, 5-star, number 20 prospect from IMG Academy, Evan Neal. And it's between them and Oregon for the number 2 rated prospect, 5-star outside linebacker from Thousand Oaks, California, Kayvon Thibodeau. So, it's serious stuff. If Alabama lands all 4 of those, if they land Susser, Thibodeau, Neal, and Sanders, they will have the highest recruiting class in the modern recruiting rankings by 247 Sports. So that's something to keep an eye on. It's pretty, yeah, and the thing is, they had other guys who wanted to go there, but they're filling up that I don't think they have room for them. Like Sika Ika, 4-star defensive tackle from Utah, Napalo Gates, however you say his name, out of 4-star D-back from, Arizona area, a guy called Jordan Battle, who's thinking about flipping from Ohio State, a 4-star from St. Thomas Aquinas High School in Florida. Who else? There's like 3 or 4 other guys that like actually kind of wanted to flip, but I don't think they're going to have room for them unless they have some guys decommit, which who knows? Maybe they push out some lower-rated guys that are not as high on their board. they could almost do that. But long story short, I think I'd be very shocked if Alabama does not land the best recruiting class in 247 sports history. So talking about my Ducks right now have the number 7th rated recruiting class, number 1 in the Pac-12, and we're in line. We're in the running for Kayvon Thibodeau. We're in the running for Sieke Ika, who's not going to Bama. It's probably between us and LSU. We're in the running for 5-star Kyle Ford from Orange, California. It's between probably us and Washington and USC. We are still in the running I think we're just trying to keep some guys like Mesa Funa, who's a 4-star linebacker from Mater Dei High School. He was thinking about flipping to USC, but I think he's going to stay with Oregon. We'll find out. And Jonah Tuna, who's a 4-star from Narbonne High School in California, I think he's going to stay at Oregon. So long story short, I think if Oregon is able to keep all their class and maybe add a couple of those 4-stars, they're going to add some 3-stars too. I think you're looking at you're going to look at the best recruiting class in the history of Oregon, and you're going to probably be a top 10 class. And they had a top 15 class last year. And this probably will eventually move into what I last talked about, and that's the battle between Oregon and Florida.
I lost him. Sorry, guys. Let me reconnect with him right now so I can reconnect with him here. He cannot call me, but I can call him.
Santiago, what happened?
I don't know. Poor connection. You were talking about Oregon and Florida.
Your thing does that all the time. Well, I wasn't quite there yet.
Okay.
What I was saying about Oregon, I don't know where I left off with. Oregon just really has to. They just have to. Did I go over players and stuff?
You went through a lot of players.
Okay, so I don't know where I ended. By the way, your thing does this all the time.
No, this is the first time I hanged up. First time it dropped.
Not with me. Yours dropped a couple times with me.
We're doing like work hours, so people are using the internet as hardcore as they can do. But anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Anyhow, but basically, Oregon needs to out-recruit their competition. And if as long as they can out-recruit their competition, they will have more talent than the rest of their conference. And I think that's the key. I have to bring up Florida versus Oregon now. Okay, so the question was, it started, and I misunderstood it. I thought Justin Riley said Florida had more upside than Oregon, but he actually said Mullen had more upside than Orgeron, which is Dan Mullen, coach of Florida, has more upside than the football program of LSU and coach Ed Orgeron. With that premise, I agree. I think Dan Mullen is a better head coach than Ed Orgeron. I think as long as he can recruit close to the level of Ed Orgeron, I trust what he is able to do with the talent at Florida more so than LSU. So I agree with that premise. Somehow I thought it said Orgeron, Oregon. I thought it was a misspell of Oregon. And then that debate happened, and I do not think Florida is a better upside job than Oregon. The reason is Florida has to compete with Alabama, Georgia, LSU, now Texas A&M. And that is just extremely difficult. For them to have to compete with that talent and try to win SEC titles is going to be difficult. Could they do it? Yes. But there's a possibility that Dan Mullen can have some very good teams and still finish, in the 9-3, 10-2 range, not winning the SEC titles and therefore not having any college football playoff appearances. At Oregon, it's not a strong conference. The Pac-12 is freaking weak. And right now, last year he finished with the 13th recruiting class in the nation, but most importantly, he had the second best recruiting class in the Pac-12. This year he has the 7th ranked recruiting class. But once again, this year he is the number one ranked recruiting class in the Pac-12. If he can out-recruit his competition, and he can coach up his competition, and he can beat his competition. He can finish, you know, in 11-1, 12-1, 13-0. He can make the college football playoff on a regular basis. And I would say the standard of that is a team like Oklahoma. Oklahoma, if you put them in the SEC, probably would have not made the college football playoff in the last 5 years. I don't think so. I think their talent has not been on the level of a Georgia and Alabama or even an LSU, maybe not even a Florida. But Oklahoma just has to out-recruit Big 12, correct?
Yeah.
What has Oklahoma done with that? They've won four straight Big 12 titles. They have won, been to the college football playoff three out of the last 4 years. And so, and then Clemson's another thing. Clemson just has to compete with like Florida State, who's really down right now. So they just have to out-recruit the competition. What has that done? Four straight college football playoff appearances. And then you get into a one-on-one game, and maybe you can pull off the upset over a team. So right now, Oregon's a higher upside because they only have to out-recruit their competition. And they are out-recruiting their competition. And the only one that is on their level or maybe a little better the last couple of years, and that's like a USC, has a screwed-up administration. They have a coach that I just don't think is a great head coach in Clay Helton. So therefore, Oregon, if you're trying, if your goal is to make the college football playoff and give yourself a chance to win a national title, Oregon has a better road than Florida right now. So if you say, who do I think in the next 5 years is going to make college football playoff first, Oregon or Florida? I think it's Oregon. And it's just because they don't play as tough a teams. They have a much easier conference. And as long as they can beat that conference and beat that schedule and finish no losses or maybe one loss, they have a good chance of making the college football playoff.
How long do you think it'll take for Florida Gators to get back in their bearings?
Well, I mean, you can say this year they have. They made a New Year's Six Bowl.
Okay.
So if you're back in their bearings, I mean, I would say making a New Year's Six Bowl is getting back in your bearings, correct?
Yeah. You're right. Not thinking about it. Mullins
right?
is coming. Yeah, I mean, Mullins is putting the program back into.
How is that not getting back in?
Yeah, I mean, you know, making it to the top four, making it to the top 10, winning the SEC East, things like that.
Okay, if you're talking, oh, okay, that's totally a different question. So you have getting back in their bearings. That's what is bearings mean. That seems kind of like a subjective term.
Playing at the highest level.
You mean when do I think Ford is going to play for college football national championships?
Yeah.
For college football? I don't know. I would say I would not. As of right now, they just don't have the talent of Alabama and Georgia.
You think Georgia and Alabama are going to dominate for the next couple of years?
They have way more talent. If you go, remember, did you see that team talent composite thing I sent you?
I did not, but I do see the recruitment rankings, and Alabama and Georgia are in the top two.
Yep. So let's go by team talent, which actually combines the whole talent on a roster. This season, actually, Ohio State, by the team talent composite rankings, remember, stuff goes into this. If guys transfer or guys go pro, then even if you have a high class, it can drop you. But anyway, long story short, I sometimes overtalk. Ohio State's number one, Alabama's number two, Georgia's number three, and then you got USC four, Florida State five, Clemson six, LSU 7, Michigan 8, blah, 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 Texas 9, Notre Dame 10. And here's a case in point, Oklahoma is number 11. So Oklahoma's not even in the top 10, yet they're making the college football playoff for third time out of the last 4 years. But if you want to go by the talent on the rosters in the SEC, it's Alabama first, Georgia second, LSU third, Florida fourth, and then you got Auburn fifth. But keep in mind, Texas A&M has the number three recruiting class. If they bring in that recruiting class, they're probably going to jump into the top four, which would put Florida, which is having a decent year recruiting, like I think they're 20th, but they're not on par with the better ones. So more than likely, Florida will go into next year with about the fifth most talented roster in the SEC. That's pretty much in the middle. Like, I guess it's kind of towards the top. There's 14 teams in the division, but still, it's number five. You still are playing. You have teams with more talent. And even though he's a very good coach, and Dan Mullen's one of the better coaches, I think, in college football, I could see them being consistently 9-3, 10-2, maybe 11-2 here and there. But I just don't see, unless they really get the talent in there, or really hit at the quarterback position, I don't think they're going to – I don't think, actually, they're going to make college football playoffs the next 5 years. I just don't think so. I just think they're at a deficit talent-wise against especially Alabama and Georgia. So there you go. I just
– That's a good answer. The Tim Tebow days are not going to come back in a while.
They just have to get more talent. They have to out recruit Alabama, Georgia, and stuff. So,
well, our show is coming towards the end. Anything else you want to talk about? Before we end,
do we have any subjects? Do we have any subjects?
Yeah, real quick. Should Dwayne Haskins go pro?
Yes.
Okay.
I think yes. I mentioned this on Sportscast. I think Dwayne Haskins is one of those guys. I think it's a good time to do it because I believe it's a weak class, and I believe because of his production on the field, it will make up for maybe where he lacks in overall talent a little bit. I think if he does it another year, he's just risking going against guys who I think are more talented. Like, there's been a couple arguments I've had on Twitter, and it's like, who's more talented? Haskins is better upside than Herbert. No, he doesn't. I'm sorry. He's not talented. He's much smaller. He's probably about 3-4 inches shorter. It does matter whether people want to say it does or not. He's about 20 pounds smaller. He does not have as big an arm. He's not as mobile. He just is athletically pretty much inferior in every area than Herbert. Like, if they went to a combine, Herbert's going to throw farther. He's going to run faster. He's going to test bigger. He's going to, and it's just when it's, looks too close, they're going to go to Herbert every time. And then I worry that, you know, like, an Easton's more talented. I think he's more physically gifted. Haskins could come back and find himself falling to the second or third round. Whereas this year, I think he's a first round draft pick. So I think he does need to. And I just don't think, I think he's a guy that is good, but I don't know how high his ceiling is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a good pro quarterback. I don't think he's going to be great. He's just not anything spectacular when it comes to a talent. He doesn't have this ridiculously good arm.
He's like a Tyrod Taylor.
Super mobile. No, that's a terrible comparison.
Okay.
What? That is an awful comparison. A Tyrod Taylor is, no, what the flip? Is that what? Because he has black skin?
No, don't go there.
Yeah, no, then what is the comparison? Tyrod Taylor was a terrific athlete. Remember, he ran like a sub-4.6 at the combine. Haskins is not. He's very average. He's probably a 4.8 guy. Right. Well, no, what really is the comparison of those two?
Well, you know, I mean, Tyrod Taylor isn't great, but he's not bad. He's like a, you know, happy medium.
No, yeah, because he's black. They're that whole lazy.
No, because he hasn't done much with the Bills.
No, that's not. You don't compare. That's done much. How can you compare? Not done much. For one, Haskins hasn't done anything because he's in college and he's not a pro yet.
Okay.
So, that is a terrible comp. Okay,
who
want to compare talent-wise?
Who would you compare him to in the NFL right now?
Haskins talent-wise, meaning size, arm strength, mobility, I would probably let me not throw something at the wall. like someone else just did. I would probably... See, he's not okay. That's a good question.
You could say it till next week. You can just do research.
No. I am. And sometimes you don't know what translates. It's not a perfect science.
Yeah.
But I see his arm. It's not like, you know, some people just have a live arm. Like Pat Mahomes is a freaking live arm. I mean, you see him throw. It's like a rocket.
How about
quick? It's whip. It's a whippy arm. You see, even Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold has a very good arm. You know, maybe Dwayne Haskins is kind of similar to like a Josh Rosen.
Okay. I was about to say him. I was about to say Josh Rosen.
Athletically, I would consider him next to Josh Rosen, but I actually think Josh Rosen is even like mentally a little better than Haskins. But I guess it's hard to see, but I just think he processed things pretty quickly on Rosen, where it's tough to say. Haskins is playing with more talent at Ohio State. I could see Josh Rosen being a good comp. I was going to say maybe Dak, but I don't think he's even as athletic as Dak, to be honest with you. But he's maybe a little bit better at throwing the ball, a little more accurate than Dak. But it's the thing. I think he's a middle-of-the-road pro quarterback. I think he's a guy that maybe Eli.
Which Eli Manning?
Is two Super Bowls. Actually, okay. That would probably be a decent, like, not a great athlete, but a guy who, you know, has some stature to him, a guy that has skill, and he's very skilled. Yeah, you know, that should be a decent, like an Eli Manning, who, if you think about it, Eli Manning was basically a middle-of-the-road quarterback most of his career, but he had two amazing playoff performances, especially Super Bowl performances, that won him two Super Bowls, two MVPs, and basically made him have a longer career than he probably should have.
There he is, Josh Rosen to Eli Manning. But, he's somewhere in between.
Yeah. Yeah. But so that'd probably be. So do I think Dwayne Haskins could be a good pro? Yeah.
Yes.
Do I think Dwayne Haskins is going to be like an all-timer? No, I don't. I really don't. But it is so hard to predict. But you just kind of got to go off talent.
Don't
sometimes.
Know.
Sometimes you have to let the intangibles and the eye test really make you give as good a hypothesis for someone's future ability as possible. So, yeah.
I'm glad you brought up Dak. I love Dak. He's doing well right now.
Yep.
Go Cowboys. Hot Boys, they call him now.
Hot Boys.
All right. Ready for some predictions?
Yep.
Thursday Night Football, Chargers at the Chiefs.
That's a good game.
Very good
game. Chargers are playing pretty good. I guess I'll go Chiefs.
Oof. I hope the Chiefs win. Texans at the Jets. Sam Darnold.
I am going to go Texans. They're playing pretty well.
Texans are considered one of the top teams, maybe better than Pittsburgh. Browns at the Broncos.
They're both pretty average. Broncos.
Cowboys at the Chiefs.
Sorry.
Cowboys at the Colts. Sorry. Distracted.
Man, someone's been drinking. No, I'm kidding. Cowboys.
Too much coffee.
Cowboys are
The Pack at the Bears.
You know what? Funny thing is, the Packers, as inconsistent they've been, they fired their head coach. They have a chance, if they went out, to possibly make the playoffs.
They could.
Because the teams in front of them, are playing horrible. The Panthers, the Eagles, the Redskins, and the Vikings.
All winnable.
And
all
whether
winnable.
Well, they're not playing against those teams. Those are the teams that are above them in the playoff race.
They're on the downswing.
Well, yeah, see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could see the Panthers, I could see the Vikings, I could see the Eagles, and I could see the Redskins all losing two or three of the last four games. Oh, wait. It's three games left, right? Correct?
Correct. There's three games. They got the Bears, Jets, and the Lions. They're all pretty winnable.
So I could see them. They should beat the Jets. They should beat the Lions. The Bears, I don't think they should beat.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
The Bears have trouble beating them. The Bears choked the game away in the first game of the season. They had it won. I'm going to go the Packers.
Let's go Packers.
I think the Packers, actually, I think they do what they do and what they've done every year, including their most recent Super Bowl. I think they went out. And I think there's an outside possibility if they went out that they make the playoffs. They just need to make sure that teams like the Panthers, Vikings, and Eagles and Redskins don't decide to start winning. But as long as those teams keep on winning, losing, and they win out, I think the Packers can make it.
The Packers win. Game of the weekend, Patriots at the Steelers.
game of the weekend for who? Not me.
everyone but Tyler.
I'll go. Well, the Patriots are playing pretty well, but then they blew that game against Miami.
Big blow.
I guess I'll go Patriots. Steelers aren't playing very well. Steelers actually have really
they lost three in a row.
Yeah, and they should have won like two of them.
Against the Ravens.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go Patriots.
And by the way, Bill Belichick was saying, yeah, you know, it's the NFL. I mean, no one died from Sunday's game. He had an interesting remark.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
He's an interesting person.
Yeah. Eagles at the Rams.
I think the Rams. Rams didn't play very good against the Bears. I think they come back. And I obviously want the Eagles to lose because that gives the Packers a chance. So, Rams.
Monday Night Football, the Saints at the Panthers.
Kind of the same thing. I think they're playing well, even though they did not play very good last game offensively. But I also want the Panthers to lose because they give the Packers a chance. So, Saints.
And random question, when's a good time to put up your Christmas tree?
Right day after Thanksgiving.
Everyone says that. Some people say December 1st.
Yep.
But it depends.
Nope. I like Christmas as long as possible.
Well, Tyler, how can people debate you about Tua Tagovailoa online?
Tyler Turner, MPLS.
There were some crazy comments, man. I had to report a few of them, by the way, to YouTube.
You did? Why? What did they say?
There were some death threats on one of them, and I had to report it.
Oh, that's illegal? People are stupid. How the media is censored now to do that? That's dumb. Who did they threaten to kill?
You.
Well, they're stupid. Well, they're dumb. Well, hope they enjoy their time. They actually said they wanted to kill me.
Yeah. I'll send you the screenshot later.
Oh, that's stupid. That is dumb. Well. Good job reporting them. And that person's stupid.
Yeah, anyways, I reported it. It's been removed by YouTube, so thank God. Hopefully it's just a freaking troll from maybe Alabama. Maybe he's a big Alabama fan, probably. Only one Georgia Bulldog fan loved your comments. I don't know why.
But by the way, that is criminal to threaten someone.
It is. It is.
It's called domestic terrorism. So.
Anyways, thanks for guys coming on the Sportscast. Please subscribe on YouTube and Tyler Turner, thanks a lot for your presence here.
Bye, thanks, dude.